Hello. Good to be here today. Why don't we pray and then read our Bibles? God, we come to you and we thank you for kind and loving and good. No more mindful of that than we are when we take the little piece of bread, we drink the juice, we remember your body, remember your blood, remember your goodness displayed for us on the cross, and you call us to yourself and make a way for us to know you. Now, God, as we open your word and read, I pray, God, that you would speak to us through your word. You'd help us to know and love you more. Draw us to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so here's a question for us today. Why don't I feel God's presence more than I do? Why is it possible for me to be around God and God's stuff and have a Bible and it's not even dusty? And yet, there's so many times that I go through my days, and if I'm honest, I don't feel God being close to me. I don't hear his voice. I don't feel his presence. Have you felt that? That's a disconcerting thing to think about. If you pause and you ponder it for a moment, it's how can I be, on one hand, so close to God, but on the other hand, not feel him close to me? And that's something, if you've ever felt that, that's not something unique to you. That's not something unique to me. Look at Psalm chapter 10. We'll bounce through just a couple of things in the Psalms that King David, a man after God's own heart, look at how he describes how he felt God being with him. Psalms chapter 10, look at verse 1. Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? I feel that you're far from me. I feel that you're hidden from me. I don't feel that you're close to me. And the worst part of that is, it's when I need you the most. It's when I need, when my life is falling apart, I feel as if you're silent, as if you're far away from me. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt that? If not, that's good. If you have, there's no shame in having felt that. David wrote that, and it's in the Bible. Look at Psalm chapter 13. Flip over a couple of pages. How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? How long? It's just like you've forgotten about me. It's like I see you do stuff for other people and be close to other people, and other people seem to have a connection to you. I don't feel that. I don't feel close to you. I don't feel a closeness to God. Look at Psalm 22. These aren't the happy parts of the Psalms, are they? Look at Psalm 22. Look at verse 1, and we'll just read for a minute here. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. That you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. He hadn't lost his faith in God. He knew God was real. And you, our fathers, trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. And you they trusted and were not put to shame, remembering what God has done before. But remember how he started? Why have you forsaken me? So then he goes back to himself. But I'm a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind, despised by my people. He all who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wave their heads. Why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from me? It's like you don't even hear me. You definitely don't respond. Don't hear your voice talking back. Why is God so far from me? David experienced that. He felt that. He felt that deeply. And I think maybe some of us, maybe all of us, I know myself, we experience that. We experience that sometimes frequently we feel that God is far away, that he's somehow removed from us, as if he were somebody we know a lot about, but we don't know. somebody who's somebody we would not recognize if we passed them on the street, but we've heard a lot about them. They're somebody like Osama bin Laden or somebody like that we've heard about them our whole lives, but I know he's dead, so that doesn't work. But if we were to pass him on the street, it's like, I don't know him, don't know the person. We feel sometimes that we can talk to God and even reach out to him, but it feels dry, it feels empty, it feels like there's a void there. We don't always feel his presence in our daily lives. It's easy to go through our whole week, and then we come on Sunday and we realize, when was I close to God this week? Not when did I pray before I ate, but when did I feel a connection to God? And I'm using words that don't properly describe it, because feeling isn't the king. Feeling isn't what we're after. We don't want to just feel something. But those words, if only there were words that could describe a deep connection. How do I know that there's a deep connection between myself and God? And so on Sunday, I come and I sing to him. But I know tomorrow, I'm just going to repeat the dry routine for the rest of my week. And then when I need him, like David said, the words of my groaning, when I need you, when I need to feel you close to me because things are bad in my life, I talk to you and there's nothing. Why do we feel that? Why do we feel that? Maybe not all the time, but sometimes. Probably the answer is because of the distance, the perceived distance. We don't see God. We don't feel that he's with us in person. It's as if we're going to get to heaven someday and meet him for the first time. I'll see God and then I'll know him and I'll know him then. But right now, there's a distance between me and him. It's a distance that kills the relationship. I can't know him truly when he's so far away from me. I can't really spend time with him. I can't love him. There's a distance that kills a relationship. What's the thing that you say to yourself, and maybe you say it out loud if you don't have much of a filter, when somebody tells you that the person they're dating is going to move across the country? What do you think? What's the first thing that goes through your mind? Am I the only cynical one? I wonder how long that's going to last. You don't know it, but the end has come. It's just a matter of time. That's you right now. I'm sorry. You will be the exception to that rule. But normally, right, what always happens? Not always, I know. And then someone will come up afterwards and say, my wife and I, and we date long. I know, there's exceptions to that. I have a friend who, long-distance relationship, they're married happily with children. I know there's exceptions, but normally what happens? You move across the country, and yeah, it's over. You try to make it work in the letters. Who writes letters? I'm old. The things you type out stuff, and it's just not the same. And distance kills relationships. That's why we feel like God is not, we don't feel his presence, because he's far away. He's not here with us. That's how we feel with God. He's like the Father that we've never seen, that's not with us. We know he's our Father, but it's not in person. It's different. We need to have the physical, in-person relationship so that we can see him and put our arms around him and speak face-to-face. It's difficult to have long-distance relationships. Have you ever been, okay, so like take it out of like the whole dating thing. You ever talk to somebody with, I'll redeem myself for the letter example. Have you ever talked to somebody with you're texting away, what's up, or Facebook, or whatever the, modern thing is, and you're there talking, and you're like, oh, they say something, you say something, then they say something, you're like, oh, they're upset with me. Well, they're kind of jerks. Why would they get mad at me for that? And then you show somebody else, like in person. I show my wife, like, look what he said. Look what I said. I said that. And then they said that. Why would he get upset about that? We're obviously not getting along. There's obviously something wrong there. And then, so if that's ever happened, and then if you've seen the person in person, like later, and you start talking, and you realize nothing's wrong. That they're not as big of a jerk as I thought they were. In fact, maybe I was the jerk for taking it wrong. There was Texas. Distance makes relationships really, really difficult. Our relationship with God suffers because He's far away and we don't feel him. We don't. He's an idea. He's someone we believe in. He's someone, but we don't can't see him. We can't touch him. We don't get him. It's like we don't truly understand him. And we feel, we read this and then we look at our lives and we hear what he says to us and we say, yeah, you don't understand me either. There's a distance between us. We don't. It's the distance between us. It's normal. It's common. It's a normal thing to feel that. It's what we feel a lot of times. But that leads us to another question. Is that really the reality? Is that really the way things are? Is God really far away and isolated from us and like in a different dimension? Do we just have to accept that that's the situation and then kind of take it on faith and say, I'm going to just eke out a kind of long-distance relationship with the most important person in the universe, the one I've given my life to, and I'll make it work until I get to heaven. Is that the way it has to be? Do I have to resign myself to not really feeling a connection with my Father, that he's not close to me? See, that the reality is and can be and should be much different than that. Even though that's a lot of times what we feel and what we experience, not denying that, that's real for us. It's not the way it has to be. That's not the way it actually is in reality. The reality is that God is very close to his children. God is not distant. He's not far off. He doesn't just leave us alone to live our own lives, and he's not far away from us. He's with us. God is with his children. Look at what he tells us about how close he is to us. Look at Matthew chapter 28. This is one we normally go to find purpose, but look at the thing that Jesus tucks in at the end of the Great Commission, and it's a beautiful thing that he says. Behold, I am, growing up it was lo, but now it's behold. It means the same thing. I am with you always to the end of the age. I am always with you every day forever. I'm with you always to the end of the age. So for all time and all eternity, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm not far away. I'm not removed. When you feel that, that may not be actual reality that you're feeling. That may be something different. Look at John chapter 14. And we'll stay here for a minute. We'll look at something that Jesus said because he painted a picture. See, think about this. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory. Glory is of the only begotten Son of the Father. Came to us full of grace and truth. God was with us so that God came to live with us. He put on flesh so that he could live with us so that we could know what God the Father was like because God the Son walked amongst us. He was with us, and now he's preparing to leave. He's preparing to be absent from them, and so he's going to paint a picture for them of his followers, people like you and I, of what their reality, their connection with God the Father and with him now could be and would be once he was physically gone. And look at what Jesus says. It's a far cry from many times what we experience and what we feel as we go through life. Look at verse 4. Starting 15, John chapter 14, verse 15. Jesus starts out, says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Who's the helper? He explains it. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and in the future tense, will be in you. So what's he saying? Is it was for God's children, this thing that he's going to describe, this relationship, this reality of being close to the Father is for God's children. Because look what he says in verse 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So this is someone who loves Jesus, who obeys Jesus, a follower of Jesus, someone who follows Jesus. You're going to have my Spirit, and he's going to be in you. So I'm going to be leaving you, but I'm going to ask the Father to send the Spirit, and the Spirit will be in you. And then look at in verse 18, he says he's going to explain for them what that means. I will not leave you as orphans or abandoned. I'm not going to just walk away from you. You're not going to Now you had God with you, and now you don't have God with you anymore. Now God is remote and isolated and distant once again from you. That's not the way it's going to be, Jesus is telling them and us. I will come to you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He will be close to us. He will be near. He won't be far. He'll be close. Look at verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. He'll be close to us. He'll give us life. We'll have life because he is near to us. It's a real thing. It's a thing that our spiritual life and our being alive on the inside depends on. Jesus being close to us, not far off, not distant. Look at verse 20. And that day you will know, look at this, that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. It says, you'll know this. It won't be something you'll have to believe in faith. And I know God loves me, and it's not a thing that I feel, that I know deeply inside of me. I have to believe it, and someday I'll be with him. It says, you'll know. You'll deeply, deeply know. This will be part of your reality. You'll know. I will be in you, and you'll be in me. You will be completely connected. You can't be more connected with God than what Jesus is describing. Even if we don't feel that at times, even if it's not our reality, even if we say, yeah, that's not what I wake up tomorrow and feel. Look what he says. This is deep connection. You and me, and I in you. And he compares that unity. Look at the first part of that verse. He compares the unity that we will experience as his followers, that we experience as his followers. He compares it to the Trinitarian unity that he has with the Father. That's incredible. He's saying, in the same way that I'm in the Father, you're in me, and I'm in you. Look at verse 21 now. Just keep reading. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. If you love me, if you follow me, if you give yourself to me, if you're one of my followers, you repent and are baptized, and you come, you enter into a relationship with the Father through me. If you love me, you're my follower, you'll know me, I'll show myself to you. I will be with you. Look at verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Good question, right? Because so Jesus is with them, but in the same way that he's with them and they're seeing him, anybody walking by in that moment could look over and see Jesus. So how will we know you? How will you be manifest to us? After you leave, so you're going to leave, then you're going to be manifest to us, but we're going to know you, but everybody won't know you. How does that work? That doesn't make any sense. So Jesus then unfolds it for him a little bit. Look at verse 23. Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he keeps going back to that. See that? He keeps going back to, if you love me, if you love me, if you love me, if you're my follower, if you love me, he will keep my word. If you love me and you obey me, you're my follower. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Then he makes that distinction, right? Whoever does not love me and does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So it's like he's saying, God says this. God says, if you love me, you love my Father, we love you, we'll love you, and we will be with you. We will be together. We'll be connected. There will be a connection between us, a real connection. I will inhabit in you. I will be with you. You'll be connected to me. But if you don't love me, you're not going to obey me. And then logically, I'm not going to be with you. We're not going to be connected. That's how it is that my followers, the ones who love me and know me, will have a deep connection to me and to the Father. And the ones who don't follow me, they won't even know me. They won't have that connection. I won't show myself to them. And then he explains what that connection is. Look at verse 25. These things I've spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. How is that connection going to work? What does that connection look like? My spirit will inhabit in you. And he will be a direct communication between me and the Father and you. He will lead you and he'll guide you, remind you of things I've said. He'll be in you. It's as if I were in you because my spirit is in you. That is the connection that Jesus promises that his followers will have to himself and to the Father. That's how he's able to say, the Father is in me, then you're in me, and I'm in you. If you're in me, then my spirit will be in you. We will be deeply, deeply connected. That is the promise that Jesus gives his followers then and now. This is for us. Look at verse 27. Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You've heard me say, I'm going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it takes place, so that when it takes place, you will believe. I'm going to go to God, and then I'm going to send the Spirit to you. He's going to fill you, and he will be with you. That's the promise of the gospel. That's the promise of the gospel, that in Christ, through his cross, those who are far away have been brought near. Those who are outside of the kingdom have brought into the kingdom, into the family of God. That's what we receive in the gospel, that God is with his children. God is with and in his children. The Spirit of God dwells in the children of God. That is what Jesus says is, will be in that moment, because he was still with them physically, but that the will be is the now for us. This is what Jesus says is the reality for his children. So, if so many times that's not what we experience as we go through our weeks, I don't feel that closeness to God, how can we experience that? The I will be with you, I'll be in you. If you love me, the Father, I will manifest myself to you. How do we experience that as we go through our week? How do we do that? How do we experience the presence of God in a real daily way? How do we experience that reality? The way we do it is by seeking God. That's how we do it. Look, it's by drawing near to God. God has given himself to us. Jesus has manifested himself to us. His spirit inhabits in us. If we are in him, he is in us. That's the promise. Romans 8 emphasizes that. If you're God's child, you have his spirit. So what we have to do, what's on us, when we say, I don't feel close to God, We have to draw near to God. We have to seek God. It's the snippet from James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. It's that promise and that command. We have to draw near to God to live in a connection, in a deep connection with God, to where you and I go home this afternoon, we wake up tomorrow, we wake up Tuesday, and we're not waiting for next Sunday to be with God and spend time with God, but rather, we're with God, and we feel that we have drawn near to God, and he is with us, and we know that he is with us, and we know that the Father has sent the Spirit, and he inhabits in us, and we have a connection, a real life connection with God. We have to draw near to God. How do we draw near to God? How do we do that? What does that look like? I want to give you just two examples from the life of Christ. Look at Luke chapter 5. They'll both be from Luke. Are a page away from each other. What we'll see here is that Jesus gives us an example. He gives us an example of how to live close to the Father. And the incredible thing is what he does, being who he is, that he does what we're going to look at him doing. Look at Luke chapter 5, verse 16. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. That he is Jesus. Jesus would withdraw to desolate places and pray, to talk to God, turn everything off. He would turn everything off. He would get by himself and he would talk to God. And then look at Luke chapter 6, verse 12. On these days, he went out to the mountains to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. Why did Jesus have to seek God like that? Why did he have to turn everything off and talk to God? Why? He was God. He is God. In that moment, he was God. He was God the Son. The Father was in him, and he was in the Father. It's a Trinitarian unity. He had that. Why did he have to withdraw and talk to God? Because that's how you draw near to God, is by spending time with him. It's seeking him. And in the same way, you could ask the same question. Okay, if the Spirit of God is in me, why do I have to seek him? Why do I have to draw near to him? Because Jesus had to. In the same way that Jesus, the Son of God, had to spend time with his Father in order to be close to him, that's what we have to do as well. We have to spend time with the Father in order to be close to him. We have to withdraw. How do you spend time with God? Well, what Jesus did. You have to withdraw. You have to turn everything off. You have to physically get away from people and televisions and phones and all the stuff that makes your mind just and even then you have to quiet your mind. It's incredible. I so many times I go out and I run and I think I'm going to pray now because I can't have my phone. There's no distractions. My computer's not with me. There's nothing. I can't even talk to if I'm running with my sons, I can't talk to them because I'm old. I can't run and talk at the same time. And they know that. So we run. And so there's nothing. And it's almost impossible for me to pray in those moments because my mind is like going everywhere. And it doesn't stop. We have to withdraw. That's what Jesus did. He withdrew. We have to quiet our minds. If you're driving and the radio's off or the phone's off, it's quieting the mind. And it's having moments where you quiet everything. And you withdraw, whether it's physically withdrawing or just mentally withdrawing. It's getting away and turning everything off and getting in a moment where you can have communication with the Father. And then it's talking to him. That's what Jesus did. He conversed with God. For us, that's talking, us talking to God. And then it's reading the Bible. And it's conversing with God and asking him questions like we've talked about before. We read and then we say, what do you want me to do? And we invite God, we ask God through his Spirit to lead us into all truth. What do you want me to do? And then we talk about decisions that are facing us. And what do you want me to do about that and this? And we converse with our Father and we meditate on the Word and we grab, like we've talked about before, we grab, as we're reading, we grab a phrase or a piece that a couple of words or a couple of verses, whatever it is, something we can memorize and then think about throughout the day. We converse with the Father by meditating on the Word, by talking to him. We break out in song. I don't feel God's presence with me. That's why I start singing. I start singing a praise to him. Or I take a day and I fast. I don't eat. And every time I feel hunger, I say, God, I want to feel your presence. I want to be close. I want to hear your voice. I want your Spirit to tell me what to do. So I'm going to read the Bible today. I'm going to pray, and I want to be close to you. We spend time. We get away, whether it's just for a moment in our minds or we physically get away for a little bit, and we talk to God. That's why mornings are so beautiful sometimes. You're by yourself. Everybody knows. Everybody's grumpy in the morning, so nobody talks to anybody. It's wonderful. You can be by yourself, and you can read the Bible and talk to God and have time where it's quiet. I said too much, didn't I? I'm not talking about me. It's just in general. That makes all the difference. From where we started, we said, I don't feel God's presence. And then Jesus said, yeah, I'm with you. In you. If you're in me, I'm in you. I've manifested myself to you. I'm in you and you're in me, like the Father and I are connected to each other. We're connected. My Spirit is in you. So why don't I feel that? Well, I have to get away. I have to talk to him. I have to pray. I have to think about what I've read in the Bible. I have to converse with my Father. And as I draw near to him, he draws near to me and I feel his presence. And then one more reading, one more psalm. Look at Psalm 139. This can become our reality. The same man who said, why are you so far away from me? Another time in his life, he wrote this. And as we draw near to God and talk to our Father and spend time with him, this can become our reality. Oh, Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my paths and my lying ways and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your Spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. That's a man who said, I know what it's like to be close to God. I can't get away from you. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't. You're with me and I know you're with me, and it's something I feel in the innermost part of my being, that can be our reality. We have the Holy Spirit of God in us. And as we seek the Father, and as we live close to him, we can say with David, I can't even escape from your presence. You are always with me. So what should we do? What should we do? What's the application? We should draw near to God. We should draw near to God. The question for each one of us individually is, what can you do to draw near to God? What can you do to draw closer to God, to experience more of his presence? And maybe for you, the answer is a binary thing. It's a enter into his family. It's become his child. Outside of Christ, see everything that Jesus was saying in John 14 about how he would be in us and we would be connected to the Father. And that's for his followers. That's for people who have said, I love you so much. I'm giving myself to you. You would be the Lord of my life. I will obey you. I love you. I'll obey you. You will be the most important person to me, the most important being. You'll be my Lord and my master. I'll love you for the rest of my life. I'll repent and be baptized and give myself to you. That's who Jesus was giving that promise to. And if you're outside of the family of God, if you haven't given yourself to the Father like that, then you don't have that connection with the Father. His Spirit isn't in you. But that can change in an instant, in a moment, when you come to him and you repent and are baptized and you say, I want to love you for the rest of my life and I want to follow you and I want you to be my Lord and Master. Then you receive his Spirit and he inhabits in you. And he connects you with the Father, and you can start to feel the real presence of God. And if you're not a Christian, if you've never made that decision, here's what I would say to you. In the words of James, draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Become God's child. Repent. Be baptized. And in this community, when you say, I need to do that, this needs to be my moment. I need to make that decision. Tell someone. You can repent. You can be baptized. For those of us who are Christians, we have the Holy Spirit in us. How do we draw near to God? He's drawn near to us. How do we draw near to him? To spend more time with him. To be like Jesus and draw away and talk to the Father. We look for moments, more moments in our day that I can turn everything off and talk to the Father. That's what we need to do. We need to find more of those moments. We need to find times when we can sing to him and read the Bible and meditate in what he's said in the word and talk to him. When and how are you going to do that more in this week? How are you going to find more moments to be with the Father? Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together and then we'll sing. Dear God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. You're kind and loving, and you invite us not just to be part of your family, but when we enter into your family, you establish a real connection with us. You're not far and removed and distant. You're in us. Your Spirit is in us. And so, God, I pray that you would help us to, through your Spirit, to not accept a long-distance relationship with you, and to not accept a feeling of, I see God on Sundays, and the rest of the week, I'm not close to him. I pray that you would draw us close to you. I pray that you would show us, God, how we can draw away and have time with you more and more every day, so that we can experience the incredible thing that it is to draw near to you and know that you're near to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.